Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It's Monday, February 10th, 2020, and I'm Dave Sobel. An extended episode today with an interview with Louisiana Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin, who had harsh words for service providers at a recent meeting of his colleagues and covered here on the February 3rd episode. We talk about his experiences, his position on security advice, and his legislation focused on the MSP space. This is the Business of Tech. Dave Sobel here. I am today speaking with the Secretary of State for the state of Louisiana, Secretary Ardoin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. Good to be with you.
I really appreciate it. You got my attention in a recent meeting of Secretaries of State where you came out with some pretty harsh words around managed services providers. So I thought it was good for us to talk.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate your willingness to open the dialogue for us with the MSP community and others, especially their customers.
So you had some pretty harsh words talking about the vulnerabilities that the customers you've been servicing, the municipalities and the local governments that you've been working with. Can you tell me about some of the experiences you've been hearing about and those pain points?
What's concerning to me most, especially in elections, and for any election official, is cybersecurity and the importance of securing voter data and keeping our elections secure so that we can assure the public that our elections are accurate and fair. The experience that we've had recently in Louisiana on three separate occasions are attacks. I recall getting a call from the FBI while I was in D.C., and you know, no politician wants a call from the FBI. But they were very concerned with what they learned from the first round of attacks and what the potential was for the any future attacks. And lo and behold, it came true because what they had secured on a national level is that China and other foreign actors were actually focusing in on MSPs to attack their clients and gain access to data through their clients. And my shock was, wait, the very people that local governments, whether they're the clerk of court or a school board or a local government, they're dependent upon an MSP to protect them, and yet the level of protection they need is not even actually there. And so while we jumped on that issue with the FBI in terms of trying to figure out who the MSPs were that were providing services to these government entities that were attacked, the question occurred to me is, well, if they're not protecting these local governments, governmental agencies, then what are they paying for? What is the customer actually paying for? And what is it do they think they're actually getting? And that's, as we dug further, we realized that there's some hesitancy in the MSP world of communicating to their clients that they need a higher level of services and security, quite frankly, like multi-factor authentication in order to create a more secure environment. But their fear was, well, they may not have the money to pay me, so I don't want to lose a client. They may go somewhere else. Well, to me, that's just malpractice in certain circumstances. And I think what we all have to do is, whether we're a local government agency, a state government agency, we're a service provider, or we're businesses, we've all got to have a very frank conversation of what need is out there, the sophistication of these attacks, and what that means. And the answer can't just be insurance. The answer's got to be additional security services provided. And that's the concern that I'm coming from. I'm not out to regulate groups. I'm pushing legislation to require MSPs and MSSPs to register with my office so that any business in the state of Louisiana or any local governmental agency that's looking at getting the services, well, who are these people and what are the level of services that they provide?
You've brought up two things that I want to ask more specifically about that. The first that I felt was really interesting was your comment around the hesitancy to have that conversation. Because I've heard that from solution providers a lot from their side saying, well, I'm concerned that they won't have the money to spend. You are saying look, it's malpractice if you don't. You would be telling this community that they not only should, but have to be doing that communication. Is that fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say. It's like when I buy an alarm system for my house, I want to know what is the level of protection that I'm purchasing. If I have motion detectors, what does that do for me? If I have cameras, what does that do for me? If I have just the basic door and window alarms, what does that do for me? I know the various levels of security for my home, and then there's a cost for that. To me, that's the exact same thing we're asking for or we should be demanding in the public and private sectors of these companies, because we are expecting a certain level of protection. And there are so few people in government or in business that understand the techie language, and I'm one of them, but there's a certain requirement, in my opinion, for someone who's going to provide or attempt to provide security services. They need to disclose to their customers, well, these are the different levels of security I can provide you. When you're only providing patches or firewalls or the basic levels of protection, when I, as a government official, I'm going to expect a higher level. And if there's an intrusion, I'm going to ask, well, why did that occur? Because I thought I was paying you to protect me. Oh, well, you know, I could only give you this much. That's too late to have that conversation, don't you think?
I would totally agree. The reason it's important for us to be talking is you're the customer, and hearing it directly from the customer, I think, is the most important. The second thing you brought up was regulation. And I've been talking a lot on my podcast how I'm actually believing that regulation is coming for the technology industry. You brought up registration. Can you tell me a little bit more about the legislation that you're working on and what the intention is there?
My legislation is going to define an MSP and define an MSSP. Anybody doing business in the state of Louisiana has to register with my office. So since that initial registration is already required, I want them to come back and let us know if they are an MSP or if they're an MSSP. And with that, then with those definitions in the law, then there's a basic understanding of in the business world and in government as to who these companies are and what they have to offer. My goal is not to regulate at this point in time. I'm a free enterprise guy. I think if people understand what the level of services an MSP brings and an MSSP brings, then they can make their own determinations. Since my comments at NASS, I've met with some local MSP providers who provided me information on different levels of certification that they're getting from an international association that they belong to, who happens to be actually having a conference in New Orleans in April, and I'm going to meet with their board of directors. That's where we have to go. I think if a company is willing to invest additional monies to reach certain different certifications, whether it's healthcare, technology, protection, or it's financial services, or it's governmental, quite frankly, if there are different levels of certification in different areas, well, then customers ought to know what that is and what that brings to the table for them. And I think the marketplace, just by bringing to light this situation and these issues, then requires people to adjust their business practices. And then it requires frank conversations of, well, you know, XYZ business, here's the level I've been supporting you on. Since the malware and ransomware attacks are more sophisticated now, I think we need to move to this level. I'm moving my services up into these areas and certification, and there's a cost to doing business. Sure. The fallback cannot be simply, I've got insurance for that, because you're not providing a service. You're simply buying a policy for CYA.
That makes perfect sense. I'm assuming within the legislation, then, you're defining at some level what an MSP is and what an MSSP is. Is that correct?
Correct.
The action you're looking for from the solution provider community is to be working on these certifications and an auditable way of showing the services you're delivering. Is that also fair?
That is fair, yeah.
You're speaking directly to an audience of these solution providers. Are those the basic tasks you're tasking them to do, or is there more action you want them taking?
I mean, for now, I think that's the most important. If they're not up to the task of providing actual security with the sophistication of attacks that are occurring, then they've got to be forthcoming with that. If all they're providing is very basic services in terms of IT services and not actual security services, then they need to be upfront about that. Maybe that's just a segment of the business model that is still necessary, but yet when you're still doing remote access and you're not utilizing multi-factor authentication, then you've created an issue for that client, and they need to know that. My hope is with this legislation that there begins a more frank discussion in the world of security during a forever and a day world of cyber attacks in the efforts of stealing information and data. If we're not having frank conversations and we're all hiding behind barricades, if you will, or firewalls, then we're not really doing what we have to do, which is protect the American people and our businesses and our economy. And I mean, if we're not willing to do that, then we might as well just go ahead and turn over our country today. I mean, that's unacceptable.
On your perception of the threats that are out there, you mentioned discussions with the FBI and foreign threat actors. How do you view the threat, the cybersecurity threat, and what's your understanding of it?
I view the cybersecurity threat as the number one new warfare tool in the world. The race is for how much data can someone get through nefarious means for nefarious purposes and create havoc in the United States. If you're able to do that and they question everything from how their financial system works, how their transportation systems operate, their power grid, you name it, everything that's under critical infrastructure, and then you boil it down to all the way to elections and how democracy is brought to the people. If there is no basic trust in that, then we have lost everything. And so for people not to take this as serious as it is for them to be sticking their heads in the sand and not realizing what's at stake for our future for this country.
Is it your sense in talking to the communities and the local governments and constituents you're serving, do you think those end consumers, those end customers have a good understanding of the threats that are out there?
Those that have been attacked and those that have had information stolen and then have had to go through mitigation and remediation, absolutely no. Unfortunately, I don't think that everybody understands it until they're a victim of it in some form or fashion. But the very community that understands what is at risk are the very people that are providing the services. And they have a responsibility, in my opinion, to discuss what the threats are and the magnitude of the threats and what that means to a business, a local government, or any entity of what those threats mean and the consequences of not being properly secure in how they operate. And if a customer is going to consciously make a decision. I'll go back to my analogy with the home alarm.
Sure.
If I'm only willing to do the doors and the windows, then I know what my risk is. I know that there's a higher level of risk that I can have things stolen. If I do cameras, then I know that there's detection around the perimeter of my home. If that discussion is not being taken place, not being held between service providers and their customers, then the disservice is to the customer, because the customer is never going to know what that true exposure is, and they're not going to be prepared for the possibility of what the ramifications are if they are successfully attacked. And I darn well know that no one expects that their provider is the actual conduit to the very attack that happens. And that's what occurred in Louisiana, and I'm told is occurring in other parts of the country, is that the actual people that you expect to protect you are the very ones that are being used to attack you. And that's just wrong.
And it's the threat that this community needs to be dealing with. I mean, we've both seen the warnings from the FBI, among many others, giving us very clear indication of that. You've clearly identified the pain that these solution providers should be focused on. I think you've given some pretty clear guidance on what your expectations are. I always like to say that's also an opportunity. This is exactly what this community can step up and deliver those solutions. And you've given them a pretty clear path. It can be an opportunity to build a business as well, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's why my solution, if you will, not that it's a real solution, but it's a solution to create the dialogue, or it's a path to create the dialogue to a solution. And that solution is MSPs need, if they want to continue servicing or at least providing what they believe to be the services necessary, they just need to delineate what are those services I'm providing. I'm either going to step up my game and go into the security piece, or I'm going to stay at a basic level of IT protection or services, general services. So there's a place for everybody in the marketplace, and I want the marketplace to correct itself, and I want to give folks the opportunity to change their business plans if they wish, and to be truthful about the actual cost and what is going to be protected if they're willing to do that. Otherwise, I think the market's going to frown on them and change. And then the worst case scenario is what we all preach against is government's going to step in and regulate if they don't self-regulate. And that's the worst of all worlds, in my opinion.
I think you've laid it all out. Secretary Ardoin, I really appreciate you taking out the time to talk to me for the podcast and deliver this message out to the community. I think it will resonate. And thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate the opportunities, and I'm always open to discussing this issue and helping folks understand what we're trying to accomplish and not have a scare tactics used to crush what I think can be, as you said, an opportunity for industry to move forward.
So why do we care? Some highlights from that for me. Malpractice if you don't address security with your customers. Not only you should, but you have to. There's a requirement to disclose to customers. And let's point out, this is a Republican Secretary of State defining both MSP and MSSP and asking for registration. And that final point, the government's going to step in and regulate if they don't self-regulate. I think we'll hear all these points again. Talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.